We're going to hear our first Bible reading now, because I want to talk about it a little bit with the young people. This is not the same reading as you'll be having in your session, but it is it's a good one, and it's relevant. So we're going to hear that now. Thank you, Anita. This is Jesus talking to his disciples.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
Thank you, Anita. Thank you. So so we're going to hear now our second reading, which David will read for us. Thank you, David.
So we're reading from Acts, verses 42 to 47, and it's headed the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Thank you, David. And so that reading was from the Acts of the Apostles, which tells of the growth of the early church. And that really important passage right at the end of Acts chapter 2, which tells of what the early church started to do and the habits they started to get into. And so since the beginning of the Christian faith, since those first disciples gathered together in secret after Jesus had been taken up into heaven, since those little groups of Christians first organized themselves to meet together on a certain day of the week at a certain time, they've been trying to do one thing, which was to stay connected to Christ. And the church has always relied on four things that are often known as the means of grace. The means of grace. And so we're going to do this in four parts today, four short parts, looking at these four things. things that we might do so often we take them for granted, but it's important to remind ourselves why we do them. These are the ways by which God pours his grace into our lives. So remember, they're not meant to be a burden, but a gift. Four gifts, four means of grace, four holy habits, four ways of staying connected to Christ. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we start with the apostles' teaching, or more simply, the Bible. In staying connected to Christ, it's very important to get into the habit of reading or hearing the Bible. Some will find reading easier than others. Some will prefer to listen to the words of Scripture in a recording, online, or even in church. In many times throughout history, in different times when not many people could read, going to church to hear the Bible was the only access some people had. It was unfortunate that in some of those times, the only Bible they had to listen to was read in Latin. Nowadays, we have access to the Bible in dozens of English translations, and we can easily listen to it online. But despite how easy it is, getting into the habit can be difficult. Now, I sort of have a habit of reading the Bible that helps me prepare for services. I kind of have to do it. I try to start every Monday by looking ahead to the following Sunday. I enjoy discussing the readings with other people, and then I mull them over as the days pass in the hope that a sermon emerges by the end of the week. But I have to admit that in doing that and doing lots of other things, I am a bit out of the habit of reading the Bible purely for my own relationship with God. So if you feel like that, then count me with you. And the Bible is a big and complicated book. It covers many centuries of the history of God's people. But it doesn't read like a novel from start to finish very easily. It doesn't make it easy to know where you are when you open and read it. It helps to know a bit of background, a bit of context. And sometimes, unfortunately, people can use the many different things there are in the Bible for purposes that are nothing to do with Christ. It helps, I find, to approach the Bible with certain questions in mind. What is this passage trying to tell me about God? What is it trying to tell me about humankind? How is this helping me get closer to Jesus? How is this helping me understand the way of Jesus? Is this encouraging? Is it challenging? Is it challenging me to be better? And many other questions we might want to bring. And to any newcomer to the Bible, I would say this. I believe that the Bible is there to help us understand our relationship with God. But the Bible also tells us that it's Jesus who really reveals to us the character of God. He is the true Word of God. The words on the page are there to point us to this. The Bible is a light that helps us to see the way, but Jesus is the true word and the true light and the true way. So I would say, before you start studying anything else, get to know Jesus. Read the stories of him in the Gospels. Start to build that relationship with him. Listen to his words. Hear his parables. Read about how he talks to people, how he heals people, what he offers people. Who are the ones he is gentle and forgiving with? And who are the ones he gets angry with? Start to understand his character and get a feel for how he would react in the situations we find ourselves in. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because the teaching of the apostles was all about Jesus. Meditate on his words. Get closer to Jesus and get closer to God. And when you read the Bible or hear it, don't be afraid to ask questions. Find a wise friend who can help you understand it better. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Ask questions in church. Ask questions of people you trust. Ask the questions that nobody else dares to ask. And explore it together. I think we learn the most about God's word, not when we listen to a sermon, but when we explore it together in small groups. And that's why I've put so much into good soil, into producing material over the last few years, to help us get together and discuss it in small groups. Not to provide the answers, but to provide the opportunities for discussion, because it's then that we learn from one another. And finally, God's word in the Bible should always be read with God's help. We should ask the Holy Spirit to inspire us when we read it, to help us understand it, and to change and improve us, to make us more like Christ, or to help us follow in his way as we read. And as we read together, I wonder if this is a habit we need to get into or maybe get back into. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we've thought about the apostles' teaching. Now, fellowship. Fellowship. We might think fellowship is easy. Fellowship is just chatting together, catching up, having a gossip, and even better with a cup of tea or coffee. And it might be. But fellowship is important. It's about connecting with other humans, and in doing so, we always learn more about ourselves and God. We give each other encouragement and energy and hope. We share compassion together for one another. We share sympathy for one another. There are loads of groups who come here for fellowship of different kinds, not necessarily church groups. From babies and toddlers to those at the other end of the age spectrum, people that come to learn about common interests that they might have, people that come for gardening groups, people that accidentally come to Good Soil thinking it's a gardening group, or whatever. People come for fellowship. Some people find fellowship easy. Extrovert people love being with other people. They find it energizing. They look forward to it. They come away feeling so much more alive because of it. And others find it hard work. Introverts can feel drained after spending a lot of time with others because it's not naturally what they want to do. I have to admit, I find it hard work at times, but I always come away feeling better. I always come away feeling that it's been worthwhile, that I'm glad I went. And I think it's always good for us. It gives us purpose. It gives us perspective. It gives us people to let us know we're not alone. One of my favorite television programs is Cheers, the American sitcom from the 80s about a Boston bar. And what I love about Cheers is the fellowship they have, even though they're different personalities, different backgrounds, they have this close bond of fellowship. And the theme tune says, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And that theme tune has lived with me over the years as what church should be like. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And when Jesus is the thing we have in common, then fellowship is one important way we can stay connected to Christ. And having fellowship in Christ doesn't mean necessarily that we have to talk about Jesus all the time. We just need to try to love one another as he loved us. To look out for each other, just as he commanded his disciples to do. So let's see if we can make fellowship one of the good habits we want to cherish and nurture this Lent. Fellowship in this church, fellowship with friends and neighbors, and with Christians of other churches. And I remind you of the Lent lunches that are starting this week on Friday. Fellowship is something important. Let's see if we can remember that and nurture it. Prayer is the next of the means of grace that I would like to think about. Prayer is such an important and integral way of connecting with Christ. Prayer is something that we can learn as young as we learn to walk, learn to speak. We can learn to pray. Prayer is our ongoing conversation with God. There are no experts when it comes to prayer because everyone does it in their own way. But there's always more to learn about it. It's something we do together in worship. It's something we should do when we're on our own. It's something we can do in a group or a family, in good times or in bad. It's about the big things and the little things. And personal prayer with God should be a habit if we want to stay connected to Christ. Part of our daily routine and at other times as well. And yet sometimes it seems harder than others. Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed with so many people or situations to to pray for, it can seem like a burden. Sometimes we reach for prayer as a lifeline when we're desperate for divine help in a difficult situation. Prayer doesn't have to always be asking for things. It can be thanks and praise, and just being in God's presence. And yet prayer should also come with an element of trust, being secure in God's love, knowing that God knows our situation before we bring it to Him, and believing that God actually has the whole world in His hands and doesn't need us to tell Him everything He needs to do. How much of our prayer is actually surrounded by a sense of guilt? This feeling that I ought to pray, or that I'm sorry I haven't prayed much recently. Sometimes I feel guilty when people say to me, "Thank you for your prayers, everything's much better now." And I think, "I forgot. I forgot. But God answered the prayer anyway." I'm sure these feelings of guilt are not the sorts of feelings God wants us to have about prayer. And yet He must also understand our human frailties and doubts when it comes to this little thing of relating to the God who created the universe. Perhaps we are meant to spend our lives wrestling with it. Or maybe we just need to chill out more and stop overthinking it. Some people are better with words than others. And sometimes the words just won't come. Or that feeling of being close to God just isn't there. And that's when it can be useful to use the prayers of others, or the well-worn prayers of the church. There's nothing wrong with using someone else's words and making them your own. It's rather like choosing a birthday card for someone you love. You don't necessarily need to write all the words. Someone else has already done that. But you choose one that fits. And that can be just as meaningful. And I'm sure that God recognizes even the unspoken prayers of our hearts, our good intentions, our feelings for others, our tears of despair. When we're living in a life connected with Christ, all of these things are prayer. And sometimes when you know someone well enough, you don't need to say anything in their presence. Just being with them is enough. In some relationships, there's a very comfortable presence of just saying nothing, but still being there. But having a habit of prayer can be useful. A few words you start the day with, a thankful prayer before going to sleep, a time in the day when you regularly sit down, even for just 5 minutes, maybe light a candle or just find a bit of quiet to talk to God. And prayer is so important when it comes to staying connected with Christ that He even gave us the words to say when we don't know how to pray. And the Lord's Prayer is one of the richest and most meaningful prayers. When we really take the time to think about what we're saying, the Lord's Prayer expresses our worship for God, our need for God, our need for forgiveness and God's provision and his protection against evil and temptation. Even the habit of saying the Lord's Prayer every day is one worth taking seriously. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And I've kept this part till last, because it leads into Holy Communion. So we're thinking about the breaking of the bread, or Holy Communion as we would call it, the Lord's Supper. And this is a big topic in itself. It's a sacrament, a holy thing, a way that God uses ordinary things to reach us in an extraordinary way. It's something we do that can seem so simple and yet has so many layers of meaning and understanding. At its heart, it's a little meal that we share with Jesus. It remembers and participates in the meal he had with his disciples before he died, and that they shared together many times after he rose again. I prefer not to call that meal that they had the Last Supper, because Jesus continues to share communion with his disciples, and has done for 2,000 years. It wasn't the Last Supper. It was the First Communion. It's meant to show our unity, like the tiny little pieces of bread being part of one loaf, one body. And it's meant to remember Christ's sacrifice, the extreme lengths he went to for us in his love, suffering and dying for us, shedding his blood. The sacrifice that in some way represents for us our new relationship with God, our forgiveness, our welcome into his family, our invitation to eternal life. It takes us back to the days of Jesus on earth and connects us with him now through the Holy Spirit, which makes it real for us now and transforms these simple things. Transforms these simple things into the power of God. And we hold them in our hands and we feel that God is real and that he's giving us something real here. And we taste and see that the Lord is good. And Holy Communion brings together all those other means of grace. It's a meal of fellowship. It always centers around the reading of the Bible, usually from the Gospels. And it's an act of prayer, like the long prayer of thanksgiving before we share together. It'll mean something different to different people at different times, and yet whatever our different viewpoints may be, it always connects us with Christ. And this is what we're going to share in a moment. Put together those four things we've looked at this morning. The challenge is there for us. And the gifts are offered to us. The means of grace. Fellowship together. Reading the Bible. prayer and Holy Communion. The challenge is there for us to use these four things to grow closer to Him, to stay connected to Christ. In this time of Lent, are these things we need to get back into or start in a new way? Are there ways we can receive more of these in our lives? Because the fruits are worth having. And when we go back to that reading from Acts, the fruits of a community living with these holy habits are there in that reading too. They had a sense of awe, a sense of worship, a feeling of wonder at what God was doing. They shared together everything they had and gave to those in need. So there was the fruits of generosity and contentment. They had a sense of joy as they came together, glad and generous hearts, praising God. They had the goodwill of all the people. People actually liked them. You might find that hard to believe. And day by day, God added to their number. And it says God added to their number. They didn't have to do it all by themselves. God was involved in their mission. In fact, it's God's mission. God is even more keen than we are to see people come into a loving, saving relationship with Him. Day by day, God added to their number those who were being saved. As we continue to do these same things and stay connected with Jesus through these simple gifts, these holy habits, may God bless us with awe and wonder, with generosity and joy, and by God's will and by His grace, may He add to our number as we seek first His kingdom.